The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and French impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the December 2024 issue of Southern Living Magazine. This week, we will hear the following sections. The Southern Journal, which appears in every issue. We'll start off with that. And then we will continue our Big White Cake Three Ways, which is what we began in our last episode. All right, ready? The front cover of the magazine has a coffee-colored background with a blurred Christmas tree with golden lights and other decorations of gold and white on it. In the foreground is a table covered with a golden linen tablecloth. And upon that table is a glass cake pedestal that's reflecting the bronze color around it. And upon that pedestal is a big white cake. It's a three-layer white cake with white frosting. I know that because we started this recipe last week. And we'll continue it a little later in this episode. So the cake with white frosting also has edible white poinsettias on top of it. And to the right of that, right-hand side of, as we're looking at it, of the glass pedestal, there are two champagne glasses filled to the brim with an apricot-colored beverage. And also in the foreground, just across, strewn across the table and overlapping the base of the cake, glass cake pedestal, is an artificial pine branch, and it has some pine needles on it and some tiny pine cones on it. The print on the cover from top to bottom, Christmas Double Issue, Southern Living, Holiday Spirit, the Southern Way to Celebrate All Season Long. And just beneath the glass cake pedestal in tiny print, it says White Poinsettia Layer Cake, page 141, which we will get to later, listeners. And across the bottom of the cover, The Power of Poinsettias, Show-Stopping Cookie Recipes, Decorating Ideas for Every Room, plus Southerners of the Year. And we read about the Southerners of the Year in our last episode of Southern Living. So we'll begin with a feature that is in every issue of the magazine called Southern Journal by Rick Bragg, B-R-A-G-G. And, excuse me, it begins with an illustration. It's about a quarter of the page of a very frustrated-looking man, and the man is drawn rather oversized, climbing on a ladder. He has one foot on a step of the ladder and the other foot on the roof of an eave, appears to be perhaps the eave of a door. We only see the top of it here. And his hand is grabbing the gutter that goes across the rooftop, just before the rooftop of his home. And he appears to be very frustrated, and he is entangled in red and green and orange Christmas lights. Wires and wires are all around his legs and his head. And the illustration is by John Cuneo, C-U-N-E-O. Swear tactics. Making the season bright sometimes involves colorful language. I've always wanted to see them light that big tree at Rockefeller Center in New York City. As a kid, I wondered if it was truly a magical moment when all those glittering bulbs blazed to life, or if it was more like the Christmases of my childhood. I'm sure those were all magical, too, but it often seemed to require a lot of misery and a small amount of Yuletide cursing to brighten up the darkness. I grew up surrounded by capable men and women. They didn't just stand helpless, but figured stuff out. I saw only one thing defeat them in all the years I was around. They could roof a house, dig a septic tank hole, perform minor surgery, and put a new transmission in a Chevrolet dump truck. But hand them a simple string of holiday lights and it would plumb evade them. We had our own decorations when I was a boy. Maybe not as grand as those in the Big Apple, but a whole lot more entertaining. My brothers and I would hold the ladder for the grown men in my family whenever they attempted to hang strands on their houses. Normally, it would have been a boring job, something that any nitwit could have done. But at this time of year, we fought over who got the privilege. It was always the best place to hear the swearing. They were each practically born with a hammer in their hand. So the hanging of the decor was an expert and efficient process. It was when the men threw down the extension cord to us and told us to light her up that it actually got interesting. Never, not once, did they gleam, shine, and twinkle on command. Instead, my uncles would fish a pocketful of replacement bulbs from their cocky work clothes and, one by one, search for the problem. And I wondered two things. How come they didn't do this on the ground instead of while dangling from the side of a house? And why did the company that made the lights design each strand so a single bad bulb would short out 243 good ones? I guess my people just loved Christmas and were filled with the optimism of the season. They always knew that the next bulb they unscrewed and replaced would do the trick. So we kind of walked the ladder down the side of the house, like a stilt performer in a circus. Their patience was amazing, in the beginning, anyway. I love the holidays. I knew the words to all the classic tunes. I would stand down there, the ladder firmly in my fists, and sing or hum quietly to myself. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, cheap piece of... And now, listeners, there are a whole bunch of symbols, percentages, dollar signs, asterisks, to bleep out the word with an exclamation point. They would belt out from above like a chorus. All of this would not have been so funny had they not been deacons. But in time, they found the culprit and, because by that point it was often well after sunset and sometimes midnight, the darkness on those country roads would indeed glow with beautiful reds, greens, and blues. My heart would soar. And that's not just something to say, a cliche. My heart actually lifted. Then we would go inside to decorate and maybe cuss the tree. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you. And be patient. A bad bulb cannot hide from you forever. And now to continue with our big white cake made three ways. This is a three-layer cake or a sheet cake or cupcakes. And in our last episode, we talked about the three main steps, preparing the cake and then layering it if you want to and frosting it. You can always refer back to previous episodes because they are podcasts. Just click the listen bar on our website and then skip to podcasts. All right, so to continue, we are now going to talk about the components of this cake. And these cake components can be prepared in advance. You just assemble and decorate the cake the day you plan to serve it for best results. Okay, brown butter cake. The key ingredient in this versatile batter is high-quality butter, which is cooked until it's nutty and browned. Hints of fragrant orange zest and cinnamon add cozy warmth to the tender cake. The active cooking time is 35 minutes for a total of 1 hour and 35 minutes plus 2 hours cooling. And this recipe makes three 8-inch round cake layers, 1 13-by-9-inch sheet cake, or 3 dozen cupcakes. Here are the ingredients. 10 tablespoons of Kerrygold unsalted butter, 2 2/3 cups of granulated sugar, 1 teaspoon grated orange zest from 1 orange, 1/2 cup of cooking oil, 2 1/2 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 5 large eggs at room temperature, 3 1/2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1 1/2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1 1/2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 3/4 of a teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/2 a teaspoon of baking soda, 1 1/4 cups of whole buttermilk at room temperature, and 1/4 of a cup of heavy whipping cream at room temperature, and some baking spray. Step 1. Preheat the oven to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Cook the butter in a small, light-colored saucepan over medium, stirring often until the butter solids are golden brown, 5 to 8 minutes. Add the brown butter to a large, heat-proof bowl. Chill in freezer, uncovered, until butter is just set. That's 20 to 30 minutes. Step 2. Beat butter with an electric mixer on medium-low speed until creamy, about 1 minute. Add sugar and orange zest. Beat on medium speed until fluffy, 3 to 4 minutes. Beat in oil and vanilla until smooth. Add eggs, 1 at a time, beating until combined after each addition, and stopping to scrape down sides of bowl as needed. Step 3. Whisk together flour, cornstarch, cinnamon, baking powder, salt, and baking soda in a medium bowl. Combine buttermilk and cream in a medium bowl. With mixer on low speed, add flour mixture to butter mixture, alternately with butter mixture, beating just until combined, 2 to 3 minutes. Step 4. Coat 3 8-inch round cake pans with baking spray. Line bottoms of pans with parchment paper. Divide batter among prepared pans, about 2 1/2 cups each, spreading evenly. Tap pans on counter to release any air bubbles. Step 5. Bake in preheated oven until a wooden pick inserted in centers comes out clean, and that will be 30 to 32 minutes. Let cool in pans on wire racks 10 minutes. Remove from pans. Let cool completely on wire racks about 2 hours. If you're making this ahead, wrap cooled cakes tightly with plastic wrap and refrigerate up to 2 days or freeze up to 1 month. So that's our brown butter cake. Now for our cranberry orange filling. The perfect balance of tart and sweet. This festive filling plays well with the rich cake and the creamy frosting. The active cooking time for the cranberry orange filling is 45 minutes, and it's a total of 45 minutes prep time plus 4 hours chilling. And this makes about 1 1/2 cups. The ingredients are 2 1/2 cups fresh or frozen cranberries, 2 teaspoons grated orange zest plus 3 tablespoons of fresh juice from 1 orange, 1/8 of a teaspoon of kosher salt, 1 cup granulated sugar divided, 2 1/4 cup, 2 1/4 teaspoons of cornstarch, 2 large eggs, 1 large egg yolk, 2 tablespoons of Kerrygold unsalted butter cubed, and 1/4 of a teaspoon of vanilla extract. Step 1. Stir together cranberries, orange zest, and juice, and salt, and 3/4 cup of the sugar in a medium saucepan. Cook mixture over medium, stirring often until sugar is dissolved and cranberries have mostly burst. 10 to 12 minutes. Step 2. Pour cranberry mixture into a blender. Secure lid on blender. Remove centerpiece to allow steam to escape. Place a clean towel over opening. Process until smooth, about 1 minute. Strain cranberry mixture through a fine mesh strainer into a medium bowl, pressing firmly with back of a spoon to yield about 1 1/4 cups. Discard solids. Whisk together cornstarch and remaining 1/4 cup of sugar in a large bowl. Whisk in eggs and egg yolk. Gradually whisk in cranberry mixture until combined. Step 3. Return mixture to saucepan. Cook over medium-low, whisking constantly until bubbles just start to break the surface. That's 7 to 12 minutes. Continue cooking, whisking constantly until mixture is thickened. 3 to 4 minutes. Remove from heat. Whisk in butter and vanilla extract until smooth. Step 4. Transfer cranberry mixture to a medium heat-proof bowl. Place plastic wrap directly on surface of mixture. Chill until cooled and set, at least 4 hours or up to 3 days. And now for our whipped cream frosting. A surprising ingredient, a box of white chocolate pudding mix, stabilizes this fluffy frosting so it can be made up to 2 days in advance. Active time, 10 minutes, total 10 minutes, and this makes about 6 cups. The ingredients, 3 3/4 of a cup of heavy whipping cream, 1 cup powdered sugar, 1/3 of a cup of white chocolate instant pudding and pie filling mix, such as Jell-O, from 1 3.3-ounce package, and 1/4 of a teaspoon of kosher salt. Combine all ingredients in a large bowl. Beat with an electric mixer on medium-low speed until mixture is smooth and just starting to thicken, about 5 minutes, stopping to scrape down sides and fold often. Increase speed to medium. Beat until medium stiff peaks form, 1 to 2 minutes more. Frosting will continue to thicken slightly as it stands. Use immediately or store in an airtight container in the refrigerator up to 2 days. Stir if needed before using. Now for our white chocolate candy leaves, and these are on the poinsettias that decorate the tops of either your sheet cake, your layer cake, or your cupcake. Fresh bay leaves from the produce section are the key to these easy dip-and-dry candy decorations. Although the recipe calls for using 20 leaves, you can work in batches with however many you have on hand. Active time, 35 minutes. Total, 1 hour and 5 minutes. And this makes 20 leaves. Ingredients, 20 fresh bay leaves, and these are 3/4 to 3 inches, and they should be washed and thoroughly patted dry. And it says here, see note following recipe. Let's see. Oh, how to make white chocolate candy leaves. This is, I guess, this note is an overview in 4 steps. 1, you spray, you coat the bottom sides of fresh bay leaves with cooking spray, or you brush them with oil to coat them. 2, you dip them. You dip the grease sides of the leaves into the white chocolate. You spread the coating using your finger if needed. And 3, cool. Let the leaves cool on a parchment paper-lined baking sheet until set, about 15 minutes. 4, peel. Gently pull the bay leaves away from the white chocolate. Trim candy leaves as desired. That leaves you with the white chocolate leaves without the bay leaves in the center. Okay. But we're going to get into the detail on this right now, listeners. The other ingredients are 2 cups of white vanilla melting wafers, such as Ghirardelli from 1 10-ounce package. Okay, so that and your 20 bay leaves. Step 1, coat the bottom side of each bay leaf with cooking spray, wiping away any excess. Step 2, place the wafers in a medium heat-proof bowl, microwave on high in 30-second intervals, stirring well between intervals until smooth, 90 seconds to 2 minutes. Step 3, dip greased side of each leaf into melted wafers. If needed, use your fingers to spread the coating in an even layer. Wipe the excess from edges as needed. Place leaves coated sides up on a parchment-lined baking sheet. Let stand at room temperature for 15 minutes. Okay. Step 4. Carefully peel bay leaves away from coating. Set aside the candy leaves. Wipe off bay leaves and repeat process to make desired number of candy leaves. Reheating mixture in the microwave in 30-second intervals and stirring as needed. Store at room temperature in an airtight container up to 3 days. And here's another note. We used 3-inch bay leaves for large poinsettias, 2.5-inch bay leaves for medium poinsettias, and 1-inch bay leaves for small poinsettias. Once set, the candy leaves can be trimmed as desired. Now, for the white poinsettia cupcakes with cranberry orange filling. These cupcakes are the ideal dessert for a holiday open house. Guests will be delighted by the cranberry filling that's hidden inside. Active time, 1.5 hours. Total, 3 hours and 20 minutes, including the cooling. And this serves 36. The ingredients are brown butter cake batter, that recipe we read earlier in this episode, baking spray, cranberry orange filling, and that recipe we are now reading, and the whipped cream frosting, which we just read the recipe for, white chocolate candy leaves, and fresh bay leaves, and gold dragées, and I call them berries. Those are the little gold round berries in the center of the poinsettias. All right, step 1, preheat the oven to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Make the brown butter cake through step 3. Spray 3 12-cup muffin trays with baking spray. Line with paper liners. Spoon about 3 tablespoons of batter into each liner. Step 2, bake 2 muffin trays in preheated oven until a wooden pick inserted in centers comes out clean, 16 to 22 minutes. Let the cupcakes cool in trays on wire racks for 10 minutes. Remove them from trays and let them cool completely on wire racks about 1 hour. Repeat with remaining tray. Step 3, scoop out about 2 teaspoons from the center of each cupcake, keeping the pieces as intact as possible. Reserve the cake pieces. spoon the filling into a piping bag or a Ziploc plastic bag and cut a small hole in the tip or corner. Pipe filling into centers of cupcakes, about 1.5 teaspoons each, and gently replace reserved cake pieces to cover the filling. Step 4. Spoon frosting into a piping bag or Ziploc plastic bag. Cut a small hole in the tip or corner. Pipe the frosting over tops of cupcakes, about 2.5 tablespoons each. Garnish with candy leaves, bay leaves, and dragees. See tips for making a poinsettia shape at right. Okay, we'll get there. Remove dragees and bay leaves before eating. Okay. And finally, the recipe for the white poinsettia sheet cake with cranberry orange filling. If you're looking for a stunning cake that travels well, try this 13-by-9-inch version. Leave it in the pan to transport it with ease, or feel free to frost the sides if you like. Active time is 40 minutes. The total is 1 hour and 45 minutes, plus 2 hours of cooling. And it serves 18. The ingredients: baking spray, brown butter cake batter, whipped cream frosting, cranberry orange filling, white chocolate candy leaves, fresh bay leaves, and gold dragees. And we've read those component recipes. Those are the ingredients, listeners, and we don't have time to get to the steps today for the white poinsettia sheet cake with cranberry orange filling. We will finish it in our next episode. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.